Well, you can come to my church on Sunday if you want, is what my friend Gabby said to me in high school. But I just want you to know, I say church, it's not like the church you're thinking. It's kind of like a not church church, but it's still called a church, and we go to youth group, but I know what you might think about that, but it's just different, okay? I'm not sure that was exactly what my friend said in high school that day, but pretty much that was the gist of it, as she invited me to come to church for that first time. I grew up in a non-religious household. Like so many in my generation, my parents had walked away from organized religion when they came of age. And so we had a Christmas tree, and we talked about the different celebrations that our neighbors might have done, the different civic festivities that we had in our multicultural city. But for us, religion wasn't something we did in the house. It was something other people did. And this always fascinated me as a young kid, probably because I was a little bit weird. But maybe also it's a fascination that most young children have with answers to big questions. I remember thinking, as we passed the church that was just two blocks from my childhood home, what exactly do they do in there? I kind of imagined a gathering in which the truth was handed down for the select group of people, that they might have special secret rituals that happened that would provide sustenance or understanding. Was there dancing? I didn't know. I sometimes fantasized about sneaking out on Sunday mornings, walking those two blocks, and just sitting in the back just to see exactly what was going on there. But I never quite got the courage. I was definitely worried that my parents would find me not at home, call the police. Suddenly, the police would break into the church hall, spotlight on me, hiding in the background. Didn't want that to happen. And so it was one day when I was in basically the Canadian equivalent of Barnes and Nobles, when I was in the religion section where I so often found myself when I was 13 or 14 trying to find those answers in books because they were safe and portable, that I reached and found this book, Buddha in My Backpack, A Teenager's Guide to Buddhism. And I just knew that I needed to buy it. And I did. I got my pocket money from my dad, I paid for it at the counter, and I went home and I absolutely devoured it. There's a lot about being a teenager that aligns with the core tenets of Buddhism, right? Life is suffering is the first one. The second is that there is a way out of this suffering, which is good news for all of us. And so I continued to read, I continued to study, I started the practices that Buddhism gave me, the practices of meditation, of mindfulness, of right practice. I became a vegetarian essentially overnight, my favorite food morphing from steak to not steak, as I figured out what exactly it meant to be a vegetarian. It was a profound experience for me, but it was also a profoundly lonely experience. Because when you're a teenage Buddhist in your non-Buddhist home, meditating alone in your basement bedroom is not the most connective experience. And so I still yearned for those places. Those churches, those temples, those synagogues, those mosques, these gathering places in which I wouldn't be so alone. And so when my friend Gabby offered that kind of awkward, kind of hedging invitation to come to her church, I said yes, probably before she even finished the question, because I wanted to see what exactly went on, and I was hoping that this community would be a place that could hold me and my awkwardness, me and my questions, and that I wouldn't have to be so alone in that journey. My first Sunday happened to be the Pride service, the annual Pride service that the Unitarian Church of Calgary puts on. This is the service where they lift up their inclusive welcome to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. As a closeted 16-year-old going to church for the first time, it sort of blew my mind, right? Not only was there a church where my Buddhism would be welcome, it was also a church where this thing that I was trying to hide would also be welcome if I opened that door. Huh. I also didn't know that after the service, the entire congregation carpooled downtown to not only witness, but participate in the annual Pride Parade. It was my first time at Pride. My first time being around so many queer people. My first time being so utterly terrified that, again, that spotlight would shine on me and my parents would see in the newspaper a picture of me somehow in the Pride Parade, coming out to everyone in Calgary all at once. Thank God it didn't happen. I dove into that community headfirst. I dove into the youth group, to the relationships of connection and care, for the places that it holds the questions that I had. I loved coming to Sunday services to see the ways that we wrestled together, the way we figured out how to navigate the challenges of life and our interpersonal relationships. I loved that place, and yet there was still this yearning within me. Now, Buddhism had offered me a clear path, clear practices, clear disciplines along the spiritual life. And what I had found in Unitarian Universalism was a community to live that path with. But I wondered in that moment, and I wondered for years after, does Unitarian Universalism do more than just affirm who I am? But does it offer me a journey to deepening? We often talk about Unitarian Universalism being a potluck, right? We each bring our different dishes, our different perspectives, the theological diversity in this room of theists and non-theists, Buddhists and pagans, Christians and humanists, that we all come together at this potluck and we get to experience our traditions and taste others. But in those moments, what I realized is I was also yearning for some help preparing my own dish, right? Some mentoring that helped me figure out how to not leave the kitchen so much of a mess when I was preparing it. That I was yearning for not just everyone coming and bringing their dishes to the table, but some guidance on that journey. Because when I found this church, I realized that I wasn't alone. And yet, in some ways, I still was connected, alone, but together. I was craving guidance to help me bridge the disconnects between myself and the deepest parts of me, the disconnects between me and other people, the disconnects I see in our society, the ways that racism and homophobia disconnect us. I needed a faith that would ground me, and not just myself, but something deeper, remind me of my belovedness, challenge me to get over my stuff, love me so much that I could witness, I could bring that inside. I needed a faith that would break me open to something larger than myself, that would make my life better, that would save me from the parts of myself that I can't trust as it reunites me with the parts of myself that I can. I think we're all, in our own ways, yearning for that type of life, having more life. I think we're all, many of us in this room are wondering if the status quo of our lives are as good as it gets. We're wondering if we can do anything about maybe the numbness that inhabits our days or the deep pain. We're wondering if we can do something about the addiction which is cutting us off from the people we love, even though we try our hardest to make it stop. We might be the young parent who who each day arrives at 11 p.m. exhausted and realizing that soon the day will begin again and you have to do it all over again, that we may feel frantic and frenzied or too busy to be present from life, or we may have a deeper sense that there's something else, something more, that we yearn to be connected to in a new way or be reunited to once again. For Unitarian Universalists, that something more, that more life, is not something that happens in the afterlife. In so many religious traditions, we're told that that fullness of life is something we only can glimpse in this life, and it'll be fully delivered upon our deaths. For Unitarian Universalists, the question is not, is there life after death, but is there life after birth? Right? The question for Unitarian Universalists is not, is there life after death, but is there life after birth? That there are ways of being alive that are not quite living. In fact, the Unitarian Universalist minister, Eric Walker Rickstrom, talks about the spiritual life as a movement from that not life living to life, a movement from not life to life. It is what that transcendentalist Henry David Thoreau talked about in his experiment when he went to Walden. He said, "I went to the woods." So backstory there, this is like a 19th century old dead white guy who was independently wealthy, didn't need to work. So he married some rich woman. Anyways, so he decides that he needs to get connected with life. And so he goes to this pond and tries to live there independently. Fun fact, someone else did all of his laundry, but I'll get back to that in a moment. Anyway, so he's having this self-exploration thing, which we all can relate to in our own way, and he wrote this. "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could learn not what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I do not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor do I wish to practice resignation unless it is quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as if to put to root all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms." I love that. I wanted to live only that which was life, to suck out the marrow of existence. I wanted to not come to my death and realize I had not lived at all. This is the spiritual journey for us as Unitarian Universalists. It's to figure out how in our lives to move from not life to life in this spiral that is so challenging. I love thinking about Thoreau in that moment because of the laundry thing. Because, yes, someone else did his laundry. It was actually the transcendentalist Ralph Waldo Emerson's wife that would come and pick up the laundry. And back in that day, they didn't have washing machines, so this was like a real task to do the laundry. What I love about that part of this story is that it reminds us that we need other people on this journey, right? That we're not going to be able to do it all ourselves. And it also reminds us that we can't actually escape the everyday of life. There are religious traditions that will tell us that the way that we experience that life, that which is not life, if you get my gist, is to somehow transcend living, to move out of the everyday, the minutiae of eating and relationships, of the practicalities of our lives. And again, as Unitarian Universalists, we affirm that we don't need to transcend the everyday to find our connection to that which is life, to move from being asleep to waking up, to move from death to life, to move from certainty to mystery, to move from disconnection from ourselves, from others, from the world, to interconnection, to realize the truth of our deep connection. Which brings us to this question that we're diving into today. How do we grow as Unitarian Universalists? Because that was the question that I was yearning to answer when I arrived at that congregation. I'd found a community and I wondered, what is the path that'll help me deepen? How can I get better? How can I move deeper and deeper into the embrace of life? Now, in our modern Western world, it's so easy for us to start breaking this down into the steps and stages of spiritual growth. But it's not that simple, is it? It's not like going to the gym and doing the specific exercises in those planned ways, developing that specific muscle. No, it's more complicated than that, because the spiritual muscles are only developed in real time, in real life. This is why that Catholic mystic and contemplative Henry Nouwen says that it's not about stages or steps, but about the movements of our lives, of our spirit that reunites us. It's about the movement of a spirit that reunites us with ourselves, with others, with truth, with beauty, with goodness. It is the movement of the spirit into those realms that defines growth. And so actually, I like to think more about deepening than growth. Growth seems like I can evaluate it. Deepening seems like something that I can always find more depth. As Rilke wrote, I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know, am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? We live our lives in widening circles, spiraling circles of depth in the everyday, drawing closer and closer to ourselves and each other, and then farther away, and then close back in again, these movements of deepening. My friend, the Reverend Jessica Rodella, tells a story about one of her mentors. Her mentors was talking to an evangelical Christian who asked him, have you been saved? This minister's response was, define your terms. For Unitarian Universalists, that work of defining our terms is important on this journey. There's no box that you can check to say you've arrived. In fact, for many of us, we come to these churches and we feel this deep relief that we have found our people, and then sometimes we forget that that's not the end of the journey. Finding our people is an essential ingredient. We need each other, not just for the laundry business, but for everything else. We need each other, but it's just the beginning of those widening circles. For Unitarian Universalism is a faith that says that your truth is an essential part of the tapestry of understanding that we weave together. Unitarian Universalism says that your gifts, your unique specific gifts, the things that only you can give in the ways that you were molded by life and by birth and by time, those gifts are needed to heal the brokenness of this world. Unitarian Universalism says that even when it feels like the end of the story, there's always more possible. And so the invitation to deepening at each level for us as Unitarian Universalists in every moment of our lives, this movement of deepening is always to step out on a journey of wider and wider love. To expand that circling that Rilke talked about, widening that circle of love, to find this place where the love of self, the love of other, and the love of the whole world intersect. That our work of deepening, this movement of deepening in our lives, is to find always this intersection between the love of ourselves, the love of another, and the love of the whole world. For it is at that intersection, what we call courageous love, that the movements of transformation take place. So how do you deepen as a Unitarian Universalist? Is to find the practices, to find the people, to find the traditions and the history and the ancestors, to find your way of making that movement that helps you move from simply me to that greatest we. That how you grow, how you deepen as a Unitarian Universalist is to find those practices, those people, those traditions, those parts of our history and our ancestors, to know our faith as it is in your bones, to be connected to a community that loves you, to be transformed by the promises we make to each other, to have regular spiritual practices that keep you sane. Because all of that allows us to make that deepest of movements from simply me to we, to that greatest we, which is that call of courageous love. It is not an easy path. It is very much a choose your own adventure story. But the good news is that we actually know how to do this together. And that even though your journey is going to be unique and beautiful because of who you are, we as a faith know the practices that will invite you deeper. Because that's what religion is all about. It's about practice and invitation. So consider yourselves invited. Amen.